Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we started looking at verse number 14, which reads, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And we've been looking at some things, you know, related to the Word of God, how the Word of God actually has an impact on a member of the body of Christ today. And we left off with this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about how these saints, and says, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. And started to look at this issue of that word, the churches, and how, you know, unfortunately today in Christianity, the word church has taken on a different meaning than what actually the Word of God actually says. Because as the Apostle Paul is speaking here, talking about these local assemblies here, telling them that they've become followers of the churches, and if we look at it from how people try to use that word today, that people really use the word church to describe the building that somebody is actually going to. You know, they'll say things like, you know, "I went to church today." You know, not, you know, having any other understanding other than the fact that, well, the building that I went to is the church. Or, you know, they'll give directions to something, say, "Well, it's located right next to the church." And, you know, all these different things, and we could use so many other examples to describe that, about how people actually use that term and say, "Well, it's, you know, just the word that means a building." Now, if it all it meant is a building, you know, the Apostle Paul would be saying that they became followers of these buildings. You know, so there has to be something much more that that word church actually means. And when we look at, you know, kind of a definition of the word church, you see that it's, you know, the collective body of Christians or of those who profess to believe in Christ and acknowledge Him to be the Savior of mankind. You know, and that's a definition that really kind of shows that it's the church is not the building, it's the people that actually make up what is known as the church. So a person can't say that they're going to church, because if they've put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, they're a member of the body of Christ, they're part of that church. They themselves are that church. You know, what we attend is known as a local assembly. You know, that's when you see, like, for example, how Paul starts out this epistle that we've been studying, when he says, you know, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue on, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And how this idea of, you know, "you all" is describing the body of Christ, the local assembly that is there. And this is what, you know, Paul is saying. So when he's saying about that they've become followers of the church, he's talking about that they're become followers of these individuals related to something that's going on. Now, when you look in the scriptures, you see how there are, at least three different things that the Word of God would actually identify as being known as a church. And we can go, for example, let's go to the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts chapter number 7. And we'll see as we look at this, we have Stephen addressing the nation of Israel. He's laying out things related to their history based on, you know, showing all the failures that they've had as a result of not following the things of the Word of God as it should have been. But we see here in Acts chapter number 7, and we'll read here verse number 38, it says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Now we see that Stephen's describing Moses here, talking about him being up in the mountain receiving the lively oracles, the law. But as he's describing this, we see that he uses this phrase, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." Now, when you actually go back and look through, you know, back into the book of Exodus, which is where we're going to go in a moment here, but you do not see the word church actually used to describe the individuals that are there. You know, because what you see is that it's a group of people who've been called out for a very particular purpose that is going to be given here. So let's go over to Exodus chapter number 19. So that way we can see the purpose that God has called these individuals out for and why they can be described as Luke in the book of Acts calls them a church, or, you know, a phrase that we would use to kind of describe would be a called out assembly is really a way to define the word church. Now, here in Exodus chapter number 19, we're going to start here at verse number 1 to look at the issue of this calling out that's being described here in the book of Exodus. So, Exodus 19, verse number 1, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." So we see here as this description is being given related to what is going on here. You see how Moses is being called up into the mountain. He's being given a very particular purpose of how that if they follow the commands that God's going to give them, then they're going to be in a, you see these phrases, the kingdom of priests, the holy nation. You know, there's, you know, they're called a peculiar treasure above all people. You know, all of these things pointing to the purpose of why it is that they're being called out from among all the other people that are on the earth. So when you look at their response to what it is that is being said here, you know, that their response is that they're going to do all of these things that God is actually saying that they're going to need to do. They're going to attempt to follow those things. They're going to be identified as the book of Acts is calling them the church in the wilderness. And then you see how, you know, if we skip down here in Exodus 19, we'll pick up in verse number 16 to see what happens here. It says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And it's going to continue on here, and you're going to start seeing the issue of what's going to start happening here in the book of Exodus is, as what was said here about them being called out for that purpose, that God is going to be giving them this covenant that he said that he was calling them out for, and that all they were going to have to do is follow exactly what it is that these words said, and then they could be identified in this manner that we see here in Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 6. Now, we know from Israel's history that they didn't do too well with actually being able to follow those things. And over again in their history, you see the nation of Israel attempting to follow the things of the law and failing over and over again. They were not able to do those things, and they will not be able to truly do them in the way that God is looking for them to do it until the new covenant actually is ushered in. When the law is written inside of them, and they will have no choice but to obey and do all of the things of the law. At that moment, that's when they're going to receive the promises that we saw in Exodus chapter number 19, when they're going to be identified as that kingdom of priests and holy nation that God has intended them to be. Now, that's the first group that we see that the Word of God identifies and calls it a church or a called out assembly for a particular purpose that God has. Now, we see if we go over into the Gospels that we're going to see another group that's actually going to be identified using this term, and it's going to be a different group than what we saw over in the book of Exodus. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 16. Now, as we're turning there, you know, this is one of those things that why when we see your words in Scripture, we always have to take the context of where it is that we're reading them, because the same word can have different meanings because there can be different things identified. Yes, you know, it's the same thing. Like, for example, we see the word baptism. You know, there are at least 12 different baptisms that the Scriptures identify, all using that word baptism. The problem that so many people have with that word is they see it, they just immediately think of the water baptism and just read that into every single time that they see that word. Even though the majority of times that the word baptism is actually used, there is no mention or no idea of water that's associated with what is being described in that, you know, with that word. And that's why when we see the word church, you know, it doesn't always necessarily mean the exact same called out group that the Word of God is speaking of. And here in Matthew chapter number 16, we see here, we'll start at verse number 13. Here it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, when you look at a passage like this, and we have the information about the gospel message that they were proclaiming, the message that they were to be proclaimed was the fact that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, the one that had been promised in all of those prophecies that was coming to fulfill all the things that were written of him in the Word of God. And that's why the whole question becomes of, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ asks, you know, who is it that that people say that I am? You know, all these people who've been witnesses of what's going on, they're supposed to have been following the things of the law. They would have been identified as being part of that group, was the church in the wilderness, which was the nation of Israel. And you see how these individuals have failed in their understanding of the Word of God. They failed in their fact that they could not see who he was. And that's why, you know, some are saying he's John the Baptist, some saying he's Elijah, some saying he's Jeremiah or another of the prophets. They have no idea who he is. And that's why the next question becomes, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter immediately answers and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, identifying the truth of who he is. And this fact of what's being said here, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that he's building this church upon. He's not building it upon Peter the man. He's building it upon the doctrine that came out of the mouth of the word of Peter when he was asked the direct question of who he was. And the fact of that he's the Messiah is the foundation of this church that's being spoken of, this church that's being given the promise of the kingdom that's here on planet Earth. So this is speaking of the believing remnant that's inside of the nation of Israel. That's why when you see the scriptures, we'll sometimes talk about Israel and they'll say the words, not all Israel is of Israel. That, you know, just because someone was an Israelite by birth didn't mean that they were identified as being part of the Israel in God's eyes that he was giving the promise of the kingdom unto. Because in order to be part of that promise, they were going to have to acknowledge the fact that he is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that all of these promises have been pointing to, and they're to be putting their faith in that fact. And what's interesting is the information of how, okay, this is what they were supposed to be teaching. And now all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, well, you know what? Don't teach this fact anymore. Don't go out and be telling people all this because, you know, things are changing with what's going on because he's going to start talking about the things of the crucifixion, what it is that his death was going to accomplish for the nation of Israel. But you see how after the resurrection, there's some things that's actually said about this assembly here as the things of what's the so-called Great Commission is actually spoken of here. And quickly want to just look at these passages that talk about and show how all of these things are pointing to this group that is being spoken of here in Matthew chapter 16. So let's go to Matthew chapter number 28. And we're going to go right to the very end of this book. And in Matthew 28, we're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Now, they were to be going out teaching the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had commanded. And when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see the things that he commanded, you see how it's the things of keeping the law, doing the things that were part of Israel's program. Talk about how salvation was of the Jews. You know, everything keep pointing back to, you know, the fulfillment of the prophetic program. Let's go over to Mark chapter number 16. And we're going to see here the sign gifts that are part of this group that, you know, so this promise of being able to manifest these gifts goes to this group that's, you know, is identifying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah here, that called out assembly. And in Mark 16, let's start here, verse number 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So we see all these different signs that says that these signs are going to follow those that are believing and are baptized. So those who are believing that he's the Messiah, that are have had the water baptism, they're receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the signs are going to follow them. You know, that's part of Israel's program. The Jews require a sign because everything is associated with the literal physical kingdom that's going to be established here on planet Earth, and Israel needs to see those signs being established. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 24. To see here, you know, something else that's being said here. We're going to start here in Luke 24, verse 44. And it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you for while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So we see how it is that their eyes are being opened to the things of what the scripture said, that they are gaining the understanding of that this is everything that has been in scriptures has been pointing to the events of what's transpired, pointing to the, you know, the cross, pointing to what that was going to accomplish for Israel. When we go over to John chapter number 20, we're going to see how there's a promise that's being given to them as part of this group here. And in John chapter number 20, we're going to start at verse number 20. It says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." So we see as part of this group, they're receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they need that in order to be able to demonstrate these signs. But we see what the focus is. If we go over to Acts chapter number 1, what it is, the question that they're asking here as these things are going on. We're going to start at verse number 6 of Acts chapter number 1, which says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" So their understanding with all of these things is that Israel's the focus. The focus has not changed. All these things are pointing to this group that we read about in Matthew chapter number 16. That's why verses 7 and 8, which say, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And how this was the responsibility that they had as they were waiting for their kingdom to be established here on the earth. And that focus that they have is uniquely different from the focus of what it is that we see if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 1 to see how it is that the Apostle Paul describes some things related to the body of Christ here. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to start at verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, and in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And we see here in this description of what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying and describing related to the body of Christ here, we see how it's a completely different thing than what we had just been looking at. And Paul describes the members of the body of Christ and calls us a church, a called out assembly. We know that it's for the purpose of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places and the fact that we're going to be ruling and reigning with him, not here on the earth related to a physical kingdom, but we're going to be ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And that's the hope that we have because that's who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And so when we look at this term and see how Paul's using it to describe what's going on, you know, we have to see, okay, he's talking about these churches as the churches which are in Judea. So we have to gain an understanding of what Paul actually means by those, since we now know, okay, there's different things that are used to describe, you know, a church in scriptures. And when we study next time, we're going to look at exactly what he means related to this idea of speaking of Judea. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service. This is being broadcast live on Facebook, or how to join our Wednesday night service as it's, you know, being broadcast over a teleconference option for people to be able to join with us there as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.